is a commercial-free, streaming on-demand presentation from 92.9 WBPN.
What Elton John has accomplished in his more than five-decade career is mind-numbing. According to Billboard magazine in 2018, he is the most successful male solo artist in Billboard Hot 100 chart history. He's amassed one diamond album, 40 platinum or multi-platinum albums, 23 gold albums, over 50 top 40 hits, and has sold more than 300 million records worldwide. And at an age when most artists downshift, Elton has put the pedal to the metal over the last 3 years. He announced his record-breaking Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour at New York's Gotham Hall in January of 2018 with a typically forward-looking virtual reality spectacular. 300 sold-out dates visiting five continents over the three-year-long tour. It started in September of 2018 to mark his retirement from touring after more than 50 years on the road. In 2019, the Farewell Tour was named Billboard's Top Rock Tour and Pollstar's Major Tour of the Year. 2019 also saw the release of Elton's critically acclaimed global best-selling autobiography, Me. The 2019 epic fantasy musical motion picture of Elton's life, Rocket Man, has been a commercial and critical hit, taking in over $200 million at the box office. It won an Oscar, two Golden Globe Awards, and a Critics' Choice Award. The soundtrack was nominated for a Grammy Award. In 2019, Elton received France's highest award, the Légion d'honneur, for his lifetime contribution to the arts and the fight against HIV/AIDS. Diamonds, the ultimate greatest hits package of Elton and Bernie Taupin, has spent a staggering 148 consecutive weeks in the UK album charts, including 29 weeks in the top 20 in 2020 alone, selling over a million copies worldwide. What keeps Elton John working so hard, and why is he so successful?
We did a benefit in New York for the Elton John AIDS Foundation, and I sang Gershwin's Someone to Watch Over Me. What an amazing song. You know why? Because it's lasted, and it's always will be an amazing song. We're very fortunate to have a huge catalogue of songs that are great. And some of the songs that aren't famous, and this is what Bernie and I always agree on, that aren't as well known, like Original Sin, or This Train Don't Stop Here Anymore, or American Triangle, are some of the best songs we've written, or things like New Fever Waltz from The Diving Board, My Quicksand. They are as equal, as far as I'm concerned, to the songs that are as famous. But because, you know, we've had our day in the sun and radio doesn't play our records, they don't get exposed as much. But I know in my heart they're just as good as the songs we wrote in the past.
On November 13th, Elton John via UME EMI dropped Elton Jewel Box. It's an unrivaled collection containing 148 songs spanning 1965 to 2019. You can get it on an 8-CD, 4-LP, 3-LP, 2-LP, digital download, or streaming format. The ultimate exploration into Elton's extensive back catalog, Elton Jewel Box covers deep cuts, rarities from the earliest stages of his and Bernie Taupin's music journey, B-sides spanning 30 years, and songs discussed in his best-selling, critically acclaimed 2019 memoir, Me. Hi, I'm Dan Neer. Elton John and his lifetime collaborator Bernie Taupin are going to take us through a selection of songs from this spectacular release. Welcome to Elton Jewel Box, All Access.
I can't go on living without your own love. I won't say it, I could go on without your love. I would be strong, but things have changed and heaven's above. I can't go on living without you. I can't go on living without you. told you to go.
Elton John and a remix of his 1968 song, I Can't Go On Living Without You. With words credited to Bernie Taupin, but actually written by Elton, it was the duo's first song to make a blip on the public's radar. An entry into the UK qualifying round for the 1969 Eurovision Song Contest, Scottish singer and actress Lulu sang it on her TV show. And because of that exposure, it went on to be covered by other British artists, including Cilla Black. That's one of 148 rarities, lesser-known B-sides, and deep cuts on the new Elton John collection, Jewel Box. Back in 1967, Elton and Bernie Taupin were two of many struggling artists in England. Elton, a musician, Bernie, a lyricist. They happened to both respond to the same ad placed by Ray Williams at Liberty Records. Elton explains what happened next.
I told the guy, Ray Williams, that I couldn't write lyrics, but I could write melodies. The office was full of reel-to-reel tapes and bundles of envelopes. Of all the envelopes he gave me, he just said, take this one. He never looked at it. It could have been anyone if he hadn't picked that one. I mean, it's an extraordinary story. And, you know, it's lasted over 52 years.
Bernie Taupin.
I think one of the things that's kept us together for so long is the vast differences in both our personalities. And I think anybody who's followed our careers would probably see that pretty easily. And so for me, I wouldn't go back and change a thing, because I think if we had been at all the same sort of makeup in our characteristics, it probably wouldn't have lasted.
Our relationship is healthier than it's ever been, and there have been times in our relationships when, you know, we've written with other people and everything like that, but it still didn't stop the love. I love Bernie more than I've ever done, and I think he probably feels the same way about me, because we both led separate lives. We both write in separate rooms. We have an amazing respect and love for each other that's only grown. And we've had an incredible lives. We've both had astonishing lives. You know, we don't live in each other's back pockets. We are totally different. He is the Brown Dirt Cowboy, and I am Captain Fantastic.
I took myself a blue. My Merlin sleep.
St. Peter, off of 1970's Tumbleweed Connection, an album influenced by the music of Delaney and Bonnie and the band.
Bonnie and I used to listen to the radio in our little room, and one day John Peel played, he was one of the great DJs in England, he played music from Big Pink by the band, and I think that was a pivotal album in a lot of people's life, but certainly in ours. And the next day we went up to Musicland and bought it on import, and it changed our lives. And then the first time I played the Electric Factory in Philadelphia, which is a great club, I had a white, mini white grand piano with two orange boxes holding it up. And before I went on stage, the band walked into my dressing room to say hi. They'd flown down to see the show. And little things like that, they validate what you're doing. They're incredibly generous. We had telegrams from George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Leon Russell took me on tour. He was my idol. Leon Russell was my absolute idol. Success inspired us. Coming to America inspired us. Being amongst, breathing the ether in this country, seeing this, the musicians, just breathing the music in the air in this country, from what era you're in, whether it's the South, the West Coast, the East Coast, the North, Seattle, whatever, San Francisco, they've all got different ethers. I've always loved all sorts of music, and so has Bernie. We've loved soul music, blues music, country music, gospel music, rock and roll music, folk music. We have our roots in English folk music and American folk music.
Yeah, I also think that also adds somewhat to the longevity of our career, because we have delved into all of those different musical genres. So it's given us a lot of space to do a lot of different kinds of things. And if you look back at all our albums, you know, there's the country-based albums that came from my fascination with the West and traditional country like Tumbleweed. Then you've got Mad Men. You've got the pure pop of things like Don't Shoot Me and that kind of era. And you can look at the arc of our career almost in sections, because we've gone from one thing to another, but we've also kept sort of a legitimacy to our musical roots all the way through it, I think.
Your old man got mad when I told him we were leaving. He cursed and he raged and he swore at the ceiling. Called you his child, said, honey, get wise to his game. He'll get you in trouble, I know it, those bums are all the same. There's a greyhound outside in the lane, it's waiting for us. So tell him goodbye. We gotta go west on that bus. And it's all over now. Don't you worry no more. Gonna go west
your hands trembling, your eyes open in surprise. It's 90 in the shade, babe, and there ain't a cloud in the sky. I called you my child, said, honey, now this is our game. There's two of us to play it, and I'm happy to be home again. There's a greyhound outside, and the lane is waiting for us. So tell him goodbye. We gotta go.
Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player. That's Blues for Baby and Me. You'll find that on Jewelbox, Elton's collection of rarities, lesser-known B-sides, and personally curated deep cuts.
It was a very, very frustrating time. I mean, it was a very magical time.
That's next, as we dig deeper into Elton Jewelbox, right after this, on All Access.
Even more of the songs you love from 92.9 WBPM.
I'm Elton John.
And I'm Dan Neer. Welcome back to our celebration of Elton's latest release, Jewelbox, on All Access. 50 years ago in 1970, Elton and Bernie Taupin were in their third year of working together, but it wasn't yet wine and roses for the pair.
We were surviving sort of on the crust of bread that Dick James was throwing us at the time. In fact, I think Elton was making £15 a week, and I was making 10. And the reason that he got the additional 5 was simply because he was singing on the demo, so there was a little bit more work involved. But if you actually think about it, I mean, Elton and I met in the fall of 67, and we didn't really see any sort of success until we came to the States in the fall of 1970. So that's several years of slogging it out, and in my mind that certainly cannot be termed as overnight success. We wrote and demoed probably over 100 songs at that time, and nothing, just nothing. I mean, we tried to gear the songs for different people, It was a very, very frustrating time. I mean, it was a very magical time. In fact, I think it's probably one of the most magical periods of time in our entire careers. And it can only be summed up in one word, and it was total innocence. I mean, we were just innocents abroad. I think once we broke, then it was a train out of control. And we didn't stop for, seems like, 20 years.
And the big break came when Elton reluctantly came to America for the first time in August of 1970 for a week of shows at the legendary Troubadour in West Hollywood, California, in support of the Elton John album.
I always wanted to come to America. I just thought we were earning such a reputation in England as a band. I thought it might be too soon to come, but I thought maybe leave it 2 or 3 months. But Dick James said, you must come. The Troubadour is a great club, and I knew the Troubadour. So he was right. I came, and everything happened that night, which kind of launched my career very quickly. I was extremely lucky to get an amazing review in the LA Times from Robert Hilburn. What do I know? Artists know nothing.
You tell me there's an angel in your tree. They say he'd come down here to call on me. Things are getting desperate in our home. Living in the Paris of the restless folks I know.
Bye.
Elton John and the Piano demo of Burn Down the Mission, the song he closed his set with at the Troubadour in 1970. The song wasn't even released when he did those shows in America. It arrived 2 months later on his third album, Tumbleweed Connection. You're inside Elton Jewelbox All Access, featuring his new collection of rarities, lesser-known B-sides, demos, and a selection of deep cuts, which have been chosen by the man himself. In addition to being a singer-songwriter, performer, activist, philanthropist, husband, and dad, Elton John is also a huge tennis fan. And it was his love of the game and a meeting with the legendary Billie Jean King that led him to commission Bernie to write Philadelphia Freedom for her 1970s tennis franchise, the Philadelphia Freedoms.
We get pilloried. I get pilloried sometimes for writing commercial and having a lot of hits. But you know what? We changed from Elton John to Tumbleweed to Madman to Honky Chateau to Don't Shoot Me to Yellow Brick Road to Captain Fantastic, Caribou. They were all different kind of records. I mean, Blue Moves is one of our favorite records, and it's so uncommercial, it's not. And we've always tried to try and change things on different albums. We may have got lost sometimes in the 80s and stuff like that, when we had a lot of pressure from record companies to write hits, and that's not exactly what we're good at. In fact, we're not very good at having specifically to write hits. The only songs that we wrote, Philadelphia Freedom, it's pretty easy to write because it was for Billie Jean King, and he wrote an amazing lyric, and also because the music of Philadelphia at that time was a big inspiration. Gamble and Huff and the Spinners and the OJs and MFSB and the 3 Degrees and Teddy Prendergast. And it was a perfect record to mirror that time because I love that kind of music.
I used to be a Rolling Stone, you know. If a cause is right, I'd leave to find an answer on the road. I used to be a heart beating for someone, but the times have changed. The less I say, the more my gets done. 'Cause I live and breathe this Philadelphia freedom. From the day that I was born, I waved the flag. Philadelphia freedom took me knee high to a man. Yeah, give me a piece of shine the light.
Released as a single in 1975, that was Philadelphia Freedom, a favorite to tennis great Billie Jean King, and now found on Elton, Jewel Box. Elton John's popularity in the 70s was so widespread that his songs were used in numerous films, two of which went on to become classics, Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore and Dog Day Afternoon, in which you hear Amarina playing over the opening credits. Once again, Bernie Taupin.
Oh, Amarina. That was pretty special because we got locked into a movie that was also a wonderful movie, and I think the song itself is a big, big favorite, both of ours, from an album. It's obviously a favorite, certainly of mine, you know. Yeah, it was just one of those situations where it's interesting because the content of the song had a country-ish feel to it, and the subject matter of the movie was very urban and gritty, but for some reason it just gelled and worked. I think still to this day, once again, it holds up.
I mean, it was a piece of luck, and sometimes you get those wonderful pieces of luck where two things go together and it's a surprise. And I've always loved the element of surprise in the music business. Are You Ready for Love, for example, when it was a hit and written after all those years from the Tom Bell Sessions. Those little things come around, and when someone covers your song, or when you get something like Dog Day Afternoon and Amarina, which I think was the only song in the film.
Just lately, I've been thinking how much I miss my lady. Amarina's in the comfy, brightening the daybreak, living like a lusty flower, running through the grass for hours, rolling to the hay, oh, like a puppet child. I can see you sitting eating apples in the evening, fruit juice flowing sweetly down the prongs of your body, living like a lusty flower, running through the grass for hours. I was nestling in the cradle of the cabin, my arms around your shoulder, the windows wide and open, while the songbirds and the second one are growing in the valley. Oh, I miss you, Amarina, like a king bee. In her eyes are down, and she dreams of crystal.
Elton John alone at his piano doing the demo of Amarena, a song that first entered our universe on 1970's Tumbleweed Connection. Incidentally, Ray Williams, the executive at Liberty Records who was inadvertently responsible for Elton and Bernie teaming up, named his first daughter Amarena and chose Elton to be her godfather.
And I got the sort of stamp of authenticity from the black community, which any white boy will tell you who writes songs is an amazing thing to have.
We'll find out exactly what Elton is referring to when this exclusive all-access look inside his new collection, Jewel Box, resumes broadcasting in just a few minutes.
So I'm just sitting doing nothing, wondering where I should go.
The variety is the difference. 92.9 WBPM. Playing just great songs.
Thanks for staying with us as we delve into Elton John's new collection, Jewel Box, a treasure trove of rarities here on All Access. When Elton joined forces with Bernie Taupin in 1967, the goal of their partnership was to write songs for others. This decision did not prove to be immediately fruitful, with only a handful of artists covering their material. That's why in 1968, the decision was made for Elton to record the songs. But with his self-titled second album in 1970, Elton says a buzz was definitely building. And Border Song, one of 10 songs on that album, caught the attention of the Queen of Soul, the late Aretha Franklin.
Aretha did Border Song before that, yeah. And
I was
responsible. She'd had like 11 top five records in the American charts. She recorded Border Song, and we ended that record. And I've always been a bit guilty about when I've seen her, but she's always been so lovely to me. And when she recorded that song, you knew that you were a pretty good songwriter, or you know, you were on the right track. Aretha Franklin singing Border Song, are you kidding me? On the Atlantic label, it was we were so excited. I can't tell you, because I grew up playing in a blues band and playing soul music with Bluesology, and of course it was one of my greatest loves of all. The fact that we had a record on the black chart, which was number one, was probably one of the greatest thrills of my life to that point, and still is. I'd had Philadelphia Freedom at number one, and Benny and the Jets, and Mama Can't Buy You Love. So for me, that was the greatest accolade. It started with Aretha Franklin recording Border Song, and I got the sort of stamp of authenticity from the black community, which any white boy will tell you who writes songs is an amazing thing to have.
Holy Moses, I have been removed. I have seen the specter. He has been here too. Distant cousin from down the line. Brand of people who ain't my kind. Changed
the final verse written by Elton, Border Song. Border Song became Elton's first song to chart. It peaked at number 34 in Canada, and that was followed by appearances in the U.S. on the Billboard Hot 100 and Cashbox Top 100. Elton John Jewelbox spans more than 50 years of songs written by Elton and Bernie Taupin, from their first, 1967 Scarecrow, to their last, for now, 2019's I'm Gonna Love Me Again.
When people come up to you and say, listen, your music changed my life, you know, music has changed my life, so I understand what they're saying. Certain songs by other people have changed my life. They've meant so much to me. So you take it as a huge compliment. That's why I do it. That's why I write songs, to touch people. And if they tell you that they've been touched, then your mission is complete.
Well, not quite complete. Here's the latest message from Elton to you.
Hi, everyone. I've been enjoying my time at home with my family while the world navigates its way through the COVID pandemic. But I really miss being on the road and performing for my beloved fans on my Farewell Yellow Brick Road tour. While the scientists are making great progress, we are making big plans for a return to touring that will allow us to ensure the health and safety of everyone. I'll be starting my tour again in Europe and the United Kingdom in the fall of 2021, and I'll be back in North America starting in January 2022. Don't worry about me. I'm using my downtime to keep myself fighting fit and healthier than ever. I'm raring to go. As always, thank you so much for your loyal support. I look forward to seeing all you wonderful Elton John fans soon. In the meantime, please stay safe and be well. Thank you, and I love you all.
Elton John Jewelbox is available now as an 8-CD box set digital download or via streaming, and on his favorite format, vinyl, as either a 4-disc, 3-disc, or 2-disc set. It's filled with rarities from 1965 to 1971, lesser-known B-sides, and deep cuts curated by Elton. It includes 60 previously unreleased tracks. Elton John Jewelbox All Access was produced in New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions for Universal Music Enterprises. No portion may be used without the written consent of the producer. Special thanks to Jamie Hartley and Meg McLean Corso of UME. I'm your host, Dan Neer.
I'm Elton John. Thank you for listening.